You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
All right, give these fathers, dads a hand of applause today. We appreciate our dads, don't we? Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. So good to see you guys. Thanks for coming today. I want to thank Steed right off the top. Steed was in here on Saturday morning with a crew. He had a crew of five guys. They replaced a bulb in our projector, and everything was fine, man. And then we get in rolling here this morning, and so there's another issue with this crazy thing. We're just trying to make that fix, and so thank you for indulging us on the screen here this morning. Good to be here. Happy Father's Day. I've got something special today. Ash Dad, right? Okay, we got something fun today. So here's what I'd like Chris Davis. Chris Davis, we would like to ask you to come up to the platform this morning. Chris, he was back there with me. I think he caught wind of what's up. If you could track Chris down, you grab him. I want Chris Davis, and let's go with Tim Zucchini, Aaron Rozier, and Mark Sneed. Give him a big hand, these dads. Give him a big hand. We might even get one more up here, I think. How about Chad Pressel? Come on, Brother Chad. You thought you had it. Come on, just give me a quick second. All right, line up right here. You guys, how many here this morning, you guys like dad jokes? Huh? You like it? Right? So what better way to celebrate Father's Day than let's just hear some dad jokes, right? Now there's some rules to this party, the rules to this celebration. This morning, we had some men who wanted to tell their own jokes, and I had quickly put the capiche on that, all right? So for safety purposes, and because this is a sanitized environment, right, I have come up with the jokes. It's just one of those control things, guys. I'm sorry. But anyways, Ash Dad and I are going to roll those out to you guys today, all right? Aaron, would you step forward to the mic and read the dad joke for us? Real loud, speaking to the mic.
Why do chicken coops only have two doors?
Hang on. Well, let's just see here. I think it is working. Here you go.
Why do chicken coops only have two doors? I take it I open this?
Yes.
Because if they had four, it would be chicken sedans.
Oh, give him a hand. What a dad joke. That's a dad joke if I've ever heard one. Come on, brother, Mr. Steve. Come on, Mr. Mark. What do you got?
Okay, what do you call a laughing motorcycle? A Yamaha, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, what a dad joke, man. Happy Father's Day.
I tried to eat a clock the other day. It was time consuming.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one. Give him a hand, Brother Pressel. What a guy. What a guy. Good sport at that.
How does Moses start his morning? Hebrew, a pot of coffee.
That's supposed to be plural. The handwriter got that wrong. Hebrews. Oh, anyways, good job, Brother Davis. That's a dad joke.
Can February march? No, but April May.
Oh, give me another. Tim, that was so profound. We want to give you another one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
Why does
No. What? Right here. Right here.
Who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Samson. He brought down the house.
Oh, give him a hand. Give his dads a hand, would you? Good job, dads. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day, guys. Thanks, Ash Dad. Good deal. Thank you so much. So we're starting a new series on margin. Can you say that with me? Margin, right? We're going to talk about living in the margins, okay? And I think this is good. And it's a good day to do this, especially with it being the day that it is, because I think us as men, as much as anyone, we need to understand what that means to live in the margin. I know I do. Look, when I come up with these messages or find the right thing to hopefully share on a Sunday morning, it's not you that I'm speaking to. It's myself. It's me, right? And I think it fits in real well with the direction that we're going, the direction actually that even my family are going here in the next several weeks. So anyways, how many here would say, and not just here, but those that are listening on Facebook live stream, give them a hand, would you? There's a whole bunch of people right now that tune in virtually and watch what we do. And we love our Facebook live streamers and those that listen online. How many would say that you at times, and even more times than not, feel somewhat stressed? Just raise your hand right where you're at. Is that you? All right, it's me, man. I'll tell you. Just tough to cram it all in. So much going on, right? You see this picture of margin, you know, that represents all these things and all this clutter, all this stuff in our life, right, that keeps us occupied, keeps us busy, keeps our mind going in different directions. And even at times, you feel not just a strain or stress with the busyness of life, but financially, living outside of the margin or living kind of on the edge. I don't know if that's you, but I understand what that means. And I would say that I wish that, truthfully, I had more time, right, to spend with people that I love. How many would say that? Would that be you this morning? Yep, that would be me, right? The truth is that we live today in a culture that pushes us to the limit. You know, it's all about buying more. It's all about doing more, accomplishing more, conquering more. There's all this more stuff, right? It's all about more, you know, and that's the culture in which we live in today. And the truth is that, and what I would argue is that most of us are living at an unbiblical and unsustainable pace. Now, when I say that, I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm preaching to myself, and that's why I'm so thankful that the church, as a bivocational pastor, a co-vocational pastor, is given a reprieve, and that the Church of the Nazarene encourages us, right, to take time away for renewal and restoration, right? And the whole idea of this is to not fall victim, right, of living on the edge. Because on the edge, truthfully, is burnout, right? On the edge, truthfully, when you're living on the edge and you have no margin in your life, you jeopardize your relationships with your family, and you become what I believe to be, and even in my own life, I found it ineffective. So this idea of living with margin, and this idea of not living on the edge is what we want to talk to you about here in the next couple weeks. Virtually everybody that I know has little margin for error in major portions of life. Most people have no margin, and for the most important things. Some of you may say, well, what exactly is margin? What are you talking about? So let's just kind of give a working definition to set things up for the next couple weeks. Here's a working definition for margin. If you're taking notes, this is how it was defined for me, right? It was defined as this. Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. Can you say that with me? The amount available beyond what is necessary. It is the amount that you have that is available beyond what is necessary. So let me define that for you. It's the difference between what you have and what you need, right? If I need 30 minutes to get there, instead of leaving, I'm getting this backwards. I get this wrong, right? If I need 30 minutes to get there, I usually leave, right, 10 minutes late. Does that make sense? All right, if I need 30 minutes to get there, it takes 20 minutes to get there. Let's say it takes, if I have 30 minutes to get somewhere and it takes 20 minutes to get there, then I have 10 minutes of margin. And some of you are saying, yes, Pastor Ryan, you really do have a problem with that, right? If I have $100 and I've got $80 worth of bills, I've got $20 of margin. Does that make sense? Now that's the margin. It's the idea of the amount that you have that is available beyond what is necessary. So the difference between what you have and what you need. So how does margin play out in everyday life? That's a question, right? To set things up. Margin would be showing up maybe 5 to 10 minutes early to a meeting, so you're not stressed all the time. Margin can be about having significant time with God, not a quick, you know, God bless this meal, thank you, amen, help me today kind of prayers, you know, but time where you experience solitude and meditating on his word and meditating on his name and meditating with the Lord, enjoying and basking in the presence of God. Very rarely, I think, more times than not, that is experienced. You know, about last November, I think it was, we talked about the 15-minute protocol, right? Encouraging folks to spend 15 minutes every day with the Lord, right? Be it journaling, prayer, reading Bibles. So many of you took up on that offer. And here's what's interesting. Chris told me this, and Chris challenged me on this. He says, Ryan, you're time away. You don't have to worry about writing messages. You don't have to worry about coming to staff meetings or doing all the stuff that you do around here, right? But what I'm asking you to do is not spend 15 minutes with the Lord. I'm asking you to spend an hour to 2 hours with the Lord every day, right? And I know why Chris is encouraging that, because Chris is wanting me to experience in that margin, right? That margin that we're talking about here today, running everything to the edge and at times off the paper is a problem, folks, for all of us, all of us. Someone said this, and I believe this with all my heart, if Satan, our spiritual enemy, cannot make us really, really bad, here's what he's going to try to do. He's going to make us really, really busy. Are you here with me today, folks? Right? I hear some mm-hmms, right? But are we? If he can't make us really, really bad, what he's going to try to do is make us really, really busy. Some of us, we become so busy at doing lesser things that we miss out on the most important things. We are distracted from the very best. With the kids growing up, I've really tried to have margin, and I've fallen short a whole bunch of times, but there are times that I've gotten it right. One of those times is what we call kingdom moments. And I want to share a kingdom moment with you. It's a video that I treasure. It's like one of the top three videos of all time on my iPhone. And then it popped up the other day on my Facebook page. You know how it says 5 years ago, and it pops up, and it was this picture of Titus after supper, dinner. Titus and I and Travi and Tyne, we would go into the great room, and in the great room, and they were little fellers, man, we would throw ball. Right? Do we have that? I want to show you guys a kingdom moment. And as he's pulling this up, here's what a kingdom moment is. A kingdom moment, as I shared with Tyne early on, a kingdom moment is special times that Jesus would give us. And here's the truth. You can't experience a kingdom moment if you don't have any margin. Fortunately, there was some margin. Do we have it, Steve? Here we go. We're going to try to blow this up.
You did a good job. That's my little 4-year-old right-hander. What do you say, Titus?
Thank you.
1, 2, 3 with the knee. Strike.
Can I take a
picture? Yeah, I'm taking it. Come on, throw me a strike. 1, 2, 3 with the knee. Oh, it's a bit outside.
Pop, pop, pop,
Come on, T-Raf. Give me another pitch, bro. Our T-Raf. Titus. Come on, Tidy. Oh, that's a good one. No. No. All right, little buddy. You did a good job. That's my little 4-year-old right-hander. What do you say, Titus?
That is a kingdom moment. You know, I want more of those moments, right? More of those times, right? And you know, here's the good news. The good news is that God wants you to have more of those kinds of times, right? That's so precious to me, you know? It's just awesome. Here's the thing. So many of us are so consumed and obsessed and possessed with accomplishing the urgent and what we think is important. And we are missing the most important things in life. If you're here with me today, say, right on, Ryan. Right on, Ryan. I want you to look at this first part in Romans 12, 2. First and second part. There's two parts to this. Here's what it says. It says, don't copy, right, the behavior and customs of this world. Now, the behavior and the customs of this world is all about accumulating what? More. Right? It's all about the more, right? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Look, folks, why do we think that what everyone else does? Look, here's the truth. The truth is that God wants you and I to experience the best things of life. And the best things of life are what happens in the margins. So if the enemy can't make us really, really bad, what the enemy's going to try to do is make us really, really busy so he can steal our time and he can steal our joy and he can steal those kingdom moments, right? And in doing that, we begin to lose a sense of hope, right, for the future and hope and zest for life when we're all caught up in the busyness. Look, here's the truth. The truth is that you and I were not the only ones. We're not the only ones that gets pulled in 100 different directions. The truth is that in Mark chapter 6, you see Jesus and the disciples getting pulled in 100 different directions. Check this out. It's really powerful. It says the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour. They were on tour, folks, right? They were on a ministry tour. And that's a busy, busy kind of life. And they returned from their tour and they told him all that they had done and all that they had taught. Isn't that sound like so much of us, right? All that we've done and all about of our accomplishments and all that's happened, right? That's what they're sharing, right? They're sharing this with Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, let's go off by ourselves. Here's what's really cool, man. And maybe we need to capture this morning. Jesus is more interested in getting us alone than he is in the stuff that we do. Are you here with me today? Does that make sense? Does that add up with what you see in the scripture? Look, they were telling Jesus all that they had done. Look at verse 30. All that they had done, all that they had taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and what? Rest a while. And he said this because there were so many people. They were pressing in, man. They were coming and going. And Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to what? To eat. Right? There's a lot happening. Look, this life, this physical world that you and I live in, it didn't just happen to Jesus. Or it doesn't just happen to us. It happened to Jesus. And so this press and all this stuff going on, and it was so busy that they did not have time to eat. So here's what they did. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone, right? So here they're trying to get alone, They're in a boat. They're leaving for a quiet place. And here's what happens. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. And Jesus saw the huge crowd. And as he stepped out from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many more things. Okay? So you see, Jesus experiences the same kind of busyness that you and I experience. I mean, with Jesus, it was about healing. Who doesn't need healed, folks, right? It was all about recovery. Who doesn't need to find recovery, right? This is important spiritual matters that Jesus is tending to. However, man, it just kept coming and coming. Here's what we know. Look at Luke chapter 5, 16. It says this, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Often, it says, he withdrew. And why is that? Why is it that Jesus often withdraws into the wilderness for prayer? I believe it's because when you are withdrawn and alone and you are what we would call still, right? When you are still experiencing solitude, you can know that he is God. God the Father. Jesus would spend time in solitude recognizing that the Father was the creator of the heavens and the earth. He recognized that God the Father, that the eternal spiritual purposes to everything that was going on in his time here on earth. Look at verse 46 and 10. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew this scripture. It says, be still and know that I am God. That's what God is asking of us. He's asking us to be still and know that he is God. Now, here's what I want to just emphasize this morning. We need to know that he is God more often. Now, let that kind of simmer where you're at. Do you think that if we would recognize, or if we would pull the plug, or if we would build in margin, if we would not live on the edge like we live, if we would pull ourselves away and we would tap in or plug in and just get real still with God, don't you think that we could know that he is God more often? And here's what I mean by that. We would recognize he is God. When we recognize that he is God, the things of this world don't seem so pressing. When we recognize that he is God, we can overcome grief or anxiety or despair. When we recognize that he is God, we know that there is hope in helpless situations. Or hopeless situations. When we recognize that he is God, we are able to see that he is sovereign and he brings it all into order. When we see that he's God, we see his beauty, and we see his beauty in others. And it's so much easier when we recognize that he's God to bring restoration to our relationships. Folks, there's two realms to this world that we live. And some of us may not choose to believe this or not, but here's what we can come into agreement with. The physical realm, that's the here and now. You and I in the here and now, we're in the physical realm. What we know in the physical realm is that there are all kinds of demands. Are there not? Man, there's a press, there's a push, there's a demand for our time, a demand for our resources. There is this demand here in the physical realm. And when we live continually in the physical realm and our attention is solely on the physical, the idea of there being any kind of spiritual realm becomes faint, and for some of us, non-existent. When you are still as it talks about in Psalms 46:10. When you become still and you know that He is God, what happens is you take yourself out of the physical and you then begin to make your rest in the spiritual. And when you begin to sit in the spiritual, there are things that begin to happen to you that transform your life. Not only that, but when you begin to rest in the spiritual, you begin to accomplish more in the physical. Someone say, well, how do you do that? How do you pull the plug here? But you're so far, when you're here, you're so far. God takes and blesses your efforts. When you're still before the Lord, there is a blessing that God gives that moves you so much further in the physical, that begins to relieve you of the strain and stress and anxiety of this world. Your perspective begins to change. You begin to experience God and His provision and God and His sovereignty and God and His omnipotent control. Folks, this is good news for us. The good news for each one of us this morning is that, man, there is hope. There is hope. The good news this morning is that, this is going to really sound crazy, but we think and live like the physical trumps the spiritual. But here's the truth. The truth is that the spiritual life that God is calling you and I to is beyond money. It's beyond wealth. It's beyond another deal. It's beyond anything that you can ever imagine here in the physical. What you can experience here in the spiritual trumps the physical. That's what Romans 12:2 is talking about. We no longer live to the patterns and customs of this world. We are tapping into a bigger picture here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some would say, how are they able to accomplish all the stuff that they're doing? Well, first of all, they're not. They're not doing it. God is doing it in them and through them. God is empowering them. I've experienced both of these realms. I've walked in the physical and I walk in it. That's active and passive, by the way, if you're an English major. I'm not. I'm not saying I am. You guys know that. My wife is. She's helping me along. The spiritual realm, man, when you begin to spend that stillness in that time, God blesses you. He blesses your family. He blesses everything that you do. It's unbelievable what God can do when you're still before the Lord. Here's what's cool. In Mark chapter 6, 45 and 52, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that His disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake, right? And while He sent the people home, finally, God just sent them home, right? Jesus sent them home after He ministered to them. They were following Him around everywhere. They're in the boat trying to get away from Him. But they're running along the bank. There he is. And then boom, everybody else is coming. And Jesus, I'm sure, is just like, man, I need a breather here, right? You know, I love these people, but my goodness, God, the Father, you got to help me out, you know? And so finally, Jesus reaches this point where in 46, He says, after telling everyone goodbye, He went up into the hills by Himself to pray. Sometimes, look, Beth and I, it's a beautiful thing, man. Beth, this week, took our kids to camp. All four of them. Now, Ella was still here, but I would take her to day camp. And meaning this, guys, what we said was goodbye. It was a beautiful thing. Beth and I, it was like a honeymoon period, you know? I mean, it was great. I'm telling you, it was wonderful. And here's the beautiful thing. The beautiful thing was that it gave me hope for the future when our kids grow up and leave, you know? Amen. We do get along. You know, we do love each other. It was great. Just saying. And here's the truth. The truth is that God wants you to tell more things goodbye. He wants you to retreat. He wants you to go up into the hills and pray. What's the hills and pray? Boom, it's the spiritual realm. He wants you to connect. He wants us to connect in that spiritual realm, not forever, but just give him some time to reshape your focus and your eternal perspective. Read John chapter 14, right at the very beginning. Talks about the troubles. Don't let your heart be troubled, right? Don't let your heart be troubled. And then he goes into this eternal perspective. My father, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And in this place, there are many rooms. He's trying to change the perspective. So when you get alone with God, you begin to realize this spiritual realm lives on, folks. It lives way beyond the physical realm. What are you going to choose to do? Are you going to choose to continue living on the edge, continue living in the bump and the grind? Are you going to continue to try to make the ends meet? Here's the truth. You can write this down. Here's practically speaking, and I'm summing it up with this. This should be obvious to all of us. But let me just sum it up in terms of margin and living on the edge. Right? When margin decreases, your stress increases. Let me say it again. When margin decreases, your stress increases. Number two, as your margin decreases, your relational intimacy, it also decreases. Folks, why would we want to succumb to this when we can have this? God help us. God help us. Let's build margin in our lives. Let's experience the fullness of God. You know, Jesus came so that we not only have life and life eternal, but he came so that we might experience abundant life. Life more abundantly is what he talks about. Abundant living and abundant life. You know, what is that? That, my friends, is not here. You find that here. And then in this bleeds into this. What's controlling you? Is this controlling you, or are you allowing this to control you? God help us. May this control us, right? May this control us. I'm telling you, if you allow this to control you, if you put your perspective and your experience into this, everything else will take care of itself. God help us. Let's all stand. Father, Lord, we come to you today and we pray this morning. I want to start out with just expressing gratitude. I am thankful for people who build enough margin in their lives that they're able to show up on Sunday morning. You want to say amen to that? Amen to that, right? Thank you for all of these people that are here, the first service and second service, and thank you for the margin that they have. They've put time into their life to be here. And Lord, may these services and may this church help folks step out of the pressures of this world, the things that ensnare us and snag us and full of anxiety and addiction and ruin. May we, God, may this church help folks to step out of this world and move to a place where they experience you and the fullness of you, where they experience the kingdom of God. A spiritual realm of like none other. God help us. We ask all of this in your name. And right where you're at this morning, if you just want to make a private confession to the Lord, just right where you're at, just by raising of hands, saying, God, I confess to you, I do not have enough margin in my life. If you would, every head bowed, eyes closed, just raise your hand right where you're at. You're coming to agreement with that. It's between you and the Lord. You and the Lord. And that idea of margin that you need built in. Father, you see these hands and you know these folks, what they're dealing with and what they're struggling with, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to them, that you would let them know this morning. I believe that there's someone here this morning that needs to know that there is hope for you. There is hope for you. I believe that there's someone here this morning that just needs to know. You just need to know this morning that God can give you peace. I believe that there's someone here this morning that just needs to know that that relationship is going to be restored. And I believe that God wants us all to know that when we begin to walk and live in the spiritual realm, man, that is when we begin to see miracles and acts of God. After Jesus took that time away and was up in the hills and he was spending time with the Lord, that's when he walked on water. Right after that, he walked on water. God help us. We need you, Lord, to come into our life, to transform it, and to allow us to experience you. In Jesus' name. And I feel impressed in just closing prayer. You this morning, if you just need to accept Christ maybe for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord, just with me, just say, Father, forgive me. Father, help me. Father, save me. I believe in you. I choose to believe in your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Happy Father's Day, guys.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.